The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in this world and loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garments. He then took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet, he put his garments back on and reclined at table again. And he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Some of you might be thinking, did Deacon Jay read the right gospel? Well, Deacon Jay, according to him, he never makes any mistakes. But now if you ask Candy, his wife, she might have a different story. But no, Deacon Jay kept his perfect track of doing the right thing. This is the right gospel for tonight. And we say, but Father, tonight when we celebrate the Jesus celebrating the first Eucharist, the first Mass with disciples, shouldn't the gospel tell us what happened? Well, that's true. That's what we're celebrating tonight. But if you were listening to that second reading from the St. Paul's to the Corinthians, that's what St. Paul reminded the Corinthians as well as reminded us tonight, what Jesus did on that night. And actually, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians was written much earlier before any of the Gospels were written. See, that was written about 50 AD, and the Gospel of Mark, the first Gospel, was written 20 years later. And John is the last Gospel written, so by the time John writes his Gospel, we have the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, which talk about Jesus taking the bread and saying, "This is my body." Taking the cup of wine and saying, "This is my blood. Do this in memory of me." So what John tries to do in his gospel, when he's writing his gospel, and that's almost 70 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, is to remind his community, what does that mean? What does it mean that this is the body of Jesus? This is the blood of Jesus? And the first thing that we're reminded of tonight is that this is what it is. It's not a piece of, you know, wafer, piece of bread, a sip of wine. It's the body and blood of Christ. And you say, how do we know this, Father? Well, Jesus said so. He said, this is my body, this is my blood. But you say, Jesus said a lot of things. He didn't mean it, literally. Well, that's true. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he didn't say that with his light bulb or a flame or anything. But when he said and talked about, this is my body, and told the people in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you, over and over. John tells us that many of his disciples left him because they could not accept that teaching, because they knew he meant it literally. And Jesus knew why they were leaving, and he turns to his apostles and says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of truth and life. From the beginning of the Christianity, Christians assembled together on Sunday to celebrate the Eucharist because Jesus told them to do it in remembrance of him, to do it as a memorial, not once in a while, but every Sunday. That's why we believe it's the Eucharist. And actually, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's not writing to tell them about what Jesus said. He's writing to them to address some abuses they were having in the celebration of the Eucharist. Because those same things continue to happen today. People say, 70% of Catholics don't believe it's the real presence. Many times we lost the understanding and the acceptance of what this is all about. So when John writes his gospel, he's not just telling his community, yes, this is the body and blood of Christ, but again, what does that mean truly to us? That Jesus gives us his body and blood because he's calling us to three different things. He's calling us to humility, he's calling us to service, and he's calling us to become his missionary disciples. As I have done for you, you must do for others. It didn't stop with the disciples, but it has continued for 2,000 years following the command of Jesus. So let's look at humility. At the time of Jesus, the only people who could wash other people's, feet were only slaves, because it's a very demeaning task to do. So only slaves were given that task to wash their master's feet. And yet Jesus tells them, I am your master and Lord, and yet I'm washing your feet. Receiving the Eucharist is given to us so we become more humble. Actually, the prayer you say before you come to communion, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, this is a prayer of humility. A lot of times people say, Father, I don't go to communion, I didn't deserve it, I lied the day before or whatever. Well, I have news for you. None of us deserves to receive the body and blood of Christ. It's not because we're good, we proved ourselves. It's because Jesus offers us his love unconditionally, as sinners. If we're perfect, well, that's great. Jesus gives us his blood, we're perfect. No, we're not. And yet Jesus died for each one of us on the cross. That's the humility that Jesus wants us to remember when we come to receive his body and blood. The humility of realizing that I need to receive Jesus. I can't get myself to heaven on my own. Christianity is not a self-improvement type of, a religion. Okay, well, this is the book. Go and you can do it on your own. We cannot get to heaven without Jesus. And this takes humility on our part to admit that we need somebody else, and this someone is God. That's what Jesus is reminding us of. It's the humility to realize I cannot do it alone. If I want to get to heaven, I need Jesus' help. Service. We come to receive the Eucharist so we can become like Jesus. See, that's the transformation that the Eucharist will enable us to do. In our journey in this world, we're called to become more and more like Christ, to become people of love, who are willing to share of ourselves with others through our service. Our service not just, you know, to our parish community, but our service to the whole world. When we go out in the world, do people recognize us as disciples of Jesus Christ? Do they see in us something different than everyone else? Whether we're lawyers, we're teachers, we're paramedics, we're doctors, whether, you know, whatever it is that we are, do people recognize us that what we do it out of love and out of care for others? That's the service that we're called to, and that service to learn how we become servants in like Jesus starts in our parish. Start in the different ministries that we have and invite you to participate in. But it's not service like the word tells us, yeah, we can do it on your own time when you feel like it. It's a service that takes commitment, takes sacrifice. That's how Jesus served us. It wasn't about him washing the feet of his disciples. It's what he did the next day, dying on the cross for them. And when we die to ourselves, to our selfishness, then that's how we wash the feet of one another. When we serve one another in the way of Jesus, that's the true service, that how we witness to our faith, that we truly are disciples of Christ. And then when we do this, and we go out to the world ready to transform the world, then we become Jesus' missionary disciples, carrying his mission, continuing his mission, so the whole world can come to know who Jesus is by our example and our words. That's what this night is all about. It's about remembering that truly what we receive is the body and the blood of Christ, because he said so. And if he lied in this area, then why would we believe anything else he said? If he lied, how can he be God? Then we have no reason for being here tonight or any night or any day. We're here to remember that the purpose of the Eucharist is to transform us, because we are humble enough to recognize that we need God and we're not worthy to receive the body and the blood of God Christ. But Jesus offers it freely to us. We are here tonight to remember we're called to serve one another. And that's why at the washing of the feet, myself and Father Andrew will wash the first person's feet, and then that person will wash the next person's feet. And maybe when you go home tonight, maybe in your family, you need to do some washing of feet. Maybe you need to forgive someone who's hurt you, to say I'm sorry to someone. Maybe to do more around the house or around work or whatever it is. That's all meant to go out to the world, not just for us to do it here in church. And then we become servants when we're offering our time, talent, and treasure freely to the Lord, so we can continue to proclaim to the world the good news that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, who is our saving Lord.